Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for staying with me. I'm Jim Blasingame, and you're listening to the Small Business Advocate Show, and I'm glad you're here. Sarah Petty's here, too. She's a longtime Brain Trust member, the founder of The Joy of Marketing, the co-author of Worth Every Penny, and she's our good friend Sarah Petty. Welcome back to the show.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
She's a real small business owner just like you. She's running a marketing company, but also a photography company, too, right?
Yes, one's brick and mortar boutique photography business, and one is an online marketing firm where my staff is all over the country.
Right, so she's got it going on, folks. Sarah, I know one of the things you want to talk about today is when and how you should launch your small business. And one of my favorite stories along this line came from a man I interviewed quite a bit years ago, Jim McCann, who founded 1-800-Flowers.
Yep.
Jim started out as a counselor for the state of New York. He counseled people. He worked in their mental health organization as a counselor, and he did that for years. And one day he bought a florist shop in Manhattan, and he operated that florist shop while he was being a counselor for 10 years. And sometime along the way, he bought the rights to 1-800-Flowers. And then he created that company. But 10 years before he really, you know, broke out and quit his day job, so to speak, he operated a small business for 10 years. What do you think?
Yeah, I think it's the smartest way to do it. And I did the same thing. I was working full-time at an ad agency while I was taking photos nights and weekends. And my husband built me a little darkroom in the basement, and I could practice and play, because this was back in the late 90s when we were still shooting film. And it's how I figured out what made me different and what my clients loved. And I had the money to invest in my business. I wasn't so strapped to pay rent or pay all the bills.
Because you had income.
Yeah, and I didn't have to sacrifice my brand. So I hired a professional designer to create my logo. When I could afford it, I put that money back into some gorgeous identity pieces from a business card, letterhead, envelopes, all note cards, really cool stuff. And I still had my income from my ad agency, so my business was able to grow in a really healthy way.
Well, and you know, this is something I've told people for a long time, is if you have the ability to do this, don't. You know, you and I both have known people who just get a wild hair and they quit their job and start a business, and then after a month or so they say, wait a minute. When's the salary going to start? and they don't, you know, I mean, how many small businesses, if they do it right, literally they'll save their money so they don't have to take a salary out of their business for a year or whatever. So they can, because the business has always got its hand out for money, doesn't it?
It sure does, like a kid.
Yeah, like a teenager. That's exactly right. And so the thing is that I encourage people, like, to do what you did, to do what Jim McCann did, to try it on the side, to do something part-time, because here's one of the most important things I think you'll learn, Sarah, and that is whether you're cut out for it or not.
Never mind
if you have enough money or you have the right idea. What if you're just not cut out for it?
It's true. I ran into a gal the other day when I was speaking at a National Women in Communications conference. And she and her husband, they met in a bar. They love bars. They're both professionals with college degrees, and they thought, we'll buy a bar. So they bought this cheap little dive bar, and they're giggling like little kids.
Yeah.
Then the next day, the health department shows up, all these different people, and they're like, here's this fine, and these are these rules. If a kid touches this machine, you have a $300 fine, and just all this stuff, and it freaked them out. And then employees and food, and just they bit off so much more than they could chew. And I don't think either one had ever really even worked in a bar.
Wow.
When I had
my consulting business years ago, I'd have people come to me that their banker had sent them to me to get me to talk them out of it, and they'd say they're going to start a restaurant or they're going to start this job, this company or that company, and I would say, well, tell me about your experience in that industry. Oh, I don't have any experience in that industry.
Yeah.
And I say, well, let's do this. Give me all your money and let's go in here to the bathroom and let's flush it down, because this will be a lot less painful than what you're about to go through.
Yeah.
You know, let's get it over with.
Yeah, and you learn a lot. You learn a lot. I would like to see them work at four different bars to see what each bar is doing right and what each bar is doing wrong, and then take management experience. I don't think they'd ever manage people. And when you're managing food, you know, employees who are handling food, that's a whole different kind of thing.
That's probably the single biggest business that people start with no experience is restaurants.
Yeah.
And they don't realize that there is no harder business in the world to run than a successful restaurant. Because you have to know to the half penny how much an order of fries costs you.
True.
To the half penny.
And manage that.
And you have to manage your payroll by the quarter hour.
Yep.
If you can't manage it by the quarter hour, you're not going to make it. I mean, it's that kind of incremental stuff. And that's not very much fun, is it? That's not as fun as walking around amongst your patrons and having them brag on you and how wonderful the food is. That's the fun part, right? But that only lasts about 2 minutes. The rest of the day is dealing with the fries and the people, isn't it?
Exactly. And what happens when you're walking around hobnobbing and being the business owner, you're the one that gets the complaints. You have the target on you.
Right.
And people don't know how to deal with those complaints because this is their dream. And, you know, they threw it together and their menu wasn't right, so they white it out, you know, put stickers on it or white it out at the wrong price. And they didn't have the money for a sign, and it's not quite as clean because they ran out of money for that cleaning person. But they don't want to hear the complaints. So it gets tough.
Well, and so folks, what Sarah's talking about here is you need, her first comments were you need to try to run a parallel universe of a small business beside your regular day job. If you have that ability to do that, not only to capitalize your business, that's what she was talking about. Her income was helping her over time. She'd save, and her income was helping to capitalize the business to get it started out with the right materials and everything. That's a big deal. And she was honing her skills. That's a big deal. That's industry stuff. But mostly one of the big things is, are you cut out to be an owner, or should you go ahead and clock in tomorrow? We're going to be right back with Sarah Petty after these messages. Her book is Worth Every Penny. 20 after. Stay with us.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.